Now, a number of cities have seen an increase in homicides this year as compared to last year, including Milwaukee. And Madison has been in the news for an increase in shots fired incidents, including this week when Madison police say dozens of shots were fired near a crowd of people at a city park earlier this week. Add in the riots that happened in the wake of George Floyd's death in Minneapolis on Memorial Day, and it might seem like crime is at a historically high level. But our next guest says that's actually not the case in the long run. In fact, she says crime has been on the decline for decades now, and that polling shows that we tend to overestimate our risk of being victims of crime. Maggie Kurth is a Minneapolis-based senior science writer for 538. She recently co-wrote a piece on America's crime rate and public perception. Maggie, good to have you back with us on Central Time.
Thanks for having me here.
Well, can you talk about the long-term crime trends? I know some violent crime has been up this year, but when we look in the long haul, what have we seen over the last few decades?
Well, basically, since the mid-90s, crime has been on the decline. You know, there's been a couple of little blips. You saw one around 2010, 2011-ish. But for the most part, it's significantly down and it continues to trend downwards. And that's really just what we've seen year over year. That's true for violent crime. It's incredibly true for property crime. And at the same time, though, our belief that crime has increased has stayed about the same, and really since the 2000s has gone up, even though crime has not.
And you shared some polling. This is a bit older, but interesting surveys over a period where people were asked, hey, what is your risk of blank bad thing happening to you? And we, if I'm reading you right, we really overestimated our risk of being victims of crime.
Right. So these researchers, they did surveys with people, kind of talking to them about things like burglary, job loss, losing health insurance. And this was in a survey that happened over 10 years, so from 1994 to 2004. And each year they were asking two different questions. You know, how likely are you to have this bad thing happen to you in the next year? And did this bad thing happen to you last year? So they were able to sort of compare like the percentages of people who thought it was going to happen to them in, you know, 1996 versus how many people actually had that happen in 1996. And what they found was that, you know, people put their chance of being robbed in the coming year on average as 15%. But looking back, the actual rate of robbery was 1.2%. And if you looked at things like job loss, we were much better at estimating our risk of something like job loss, where people were guessing about 14.5% and the actual rate was closer to 12.9%. So we're worse at estimating our risk of crime than we are at estimating our risk of other bad things.
So it's interesting to think about what causes that. And you and your co-author are careful to make the point, and I'm paraphrasing here, these aren't your words, but to make the point that this isn't happening because we're all idiots. What is driving the mismatch between our perception and the reality of crime?
Well, because there's a lot of things that feed into perception of crime, right? And one of the things that I thought was really interesting here was there's a researcher called Wesley Scogan who's been doing all these studies where he goes to community meetings in Chicago and listens to like what people in different neighborhoods all over the city talk up to police about being problems in their neighborhood. And one of the things that he has found over time is that the things that people are most concerned about aren't necessarily like the biggest deal things. You know, like people are concerned about murder, but that's not the kind of stuff that they're bringing up constantly with the police. What they're bringing up constantly to the police are, you know, things like loitering, things like public drunkenness, things like litter on the streets. You know, they wanted the police to do things about that more than they were concerned even about something like gang violence. So one of the things that sort of comes up in this research is that people perceive threat and people perceive danger from things that are low-level crimes that we don't necessarily track very well on a national level. And they perceive threat from things that aren't technically crimes at all. So if you have a neighborhood that has a great deal of litter, that has loud music playing, you know, that has some abandoned properties, you're probably going to feel like crime is higher than it actually is, even, you know, irregardless of how much crime there actually is happening in that neighborhood.
So if I say in a survey, yeah, I'm worried about crime, that might be a stand-in for I'm worried about, and you use the phrase social disorder. That might be what's driving that survey answer.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's really interesting because there used to be this theory that, you know, broken windows could broken windows theory, the idea that like if we go in and clean up a neighborhood, that that will reduce crime. And what a lot of this research is pointing to, you know, we've found out, researchers have found out over the years that that really doesn't work, that that theory is wrong. But what this research is pointing to is the idea that like, well, maybe what broken windows theory actually points to is that if you clean up a neighborhood, people feel safer, whether they are or not.
We're talking to Maggie Kurth from 538. She co-wrote a piece on America's crime rate and public perceptions of crime. And now, Maggie, we've got a year like 2020 where we see the homicide rate definitely in many communities going up as compared to 2019. You're not ignoring that reality. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, no, I mean, the homicide rate is definitely up this year. And there are probably lots of reasons why that is, and we won't entirely know what those are for a long time, if ever. I mean, one of the things that got us interested in this topic is that we've never quite figured out why crime rose precipitously in the 70s, late 60s to mid 80s, and why it dropped off in the 90s. Like, no one really knows the answers to those questions. There are lots of theories, but nobody's ever figured it out. And we actually did this story as a preliminary into capturing that bigger story. So I think one of the things to keep in mind is that everybody's going to have a theory about why murder is up this year, but nobody actually knows the answer. And we're unlikely to have one single answer explain it all.
That's homicides. What do we know about the other crimes that are measured by local, state, and ultimately federal authorities? What's happening with crime outside of homicides?
Well, it varies a lot by city to city, obviously, but overall, other crimes besides homicides are still down this year. So property crimes are down this year. It is an interesting thing, and I don't have a good explanation for why that is, but it seems like you have a lot of different things that could be feeding into, you know, simmering resentments and tensions, and that is causing this weird disconnect where you have homicide going up but other crimes going down.
One point you make in your piece at 538 is that crime rate sounds like a really simple statistic. A lot goes into it. Can you talk about what we're saying when we talk about crime rates that ultimately get reported at the federal level?
Yeah, so there are a couple of different ways that we track crime rates, but ultimately they're only tracking certain kinds of crimes. So when you talk about the crime rate, you aren't talking about drug-related crimes. That's one of the big things that gets left out. And it's one of the big things that can lead to people maybe feeling like their neighborhood is less safe when the crime rate, less safer than the crime rate says it is, right? Because if you're having people getting picked up for drug use, if you're having people getting picked up for, you know, low-level dealing, that's not getting captured in what the crime rate is. So, you know, that's one of those things that gets left out of there. There's also the fact that, like, some crimes are notoriously underreported. Sexual assault is something that we know from victim surveys happens a lot more often than it gets reported. But researchers say that because you can look at things and these trends, you see these trends with things like homicide going down over time, things that we are pretty sure we're capturing all of in the data, that we know that those downward trends are for real. It's just we don't necessarily see all of the different crimes when we're talking about what the crime rate is.
We're talking about crime in the United States and why many Americans think it's getting worse over the years when statistics show it's actually been on the decline for decades. Maggie Kurth is with us, senior science writer for 538, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to hearing that crime overall has been on the decline in the United States for many years now? Does that surprise you or not? How worried are you about being a victim of crime? Do you feel more or less safe where you live compared to a few years ago? Even if crime is going down, do you think it's still a major issue, something to worry about in the U.S.? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about crime in America. Polling shows that most Americans overestimate the risk of being victims of crime and believe that crime has gone up over time, while crime numbers have generally trended down over the last couple few decades. Maggie Kurth is with us, senior science writer for 538, who recently co-wrote a piece about crime and perception. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your reactions to that, your thoughts, what you see in your own community, what you worry about. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We'll go to your calls now. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Quickly, I was going to ask your guest if she felt that the media accurately portrays crime within the United States and gives an accurate assessment of the rates of crime. And does she think that the defunding of the police movement that's going on now, would that adversely affect the decrease in crime that we're seeing right now?
Charlie, thanks. Two big questions there. First of all, how media represents crime, Maggie?
Well, that's actually one of the big things that researchers have sort of found influences outsized fears of crime that don't match actual rates. We know from research that people who watch more local TV news think that the crime rate is higher than it actually is compared to people who don't. And we've also found that TV news disproportionately portrays white people as victims of crimes and black people as perpetrators, and that feeds into some of these other things we see where people view a neighborhood as more dangerous because young black men live there, irrespective of the actual crime rate of that neighborhood. So there are definitely like some factors where the media is really distorting the picture on this, and it kind of comes back to that whole "if it bleeds, it leads" thing. You know, as one of our sources told us, nobody's going to hop on your TV news and tell you that it was a nice, peaceful night in Austin, Texas tonight. They're looking for things that are scary and dangerous and out of the ordinary, and that's what people see. As for the defunding the police, I don't know that there is any research that can tell you one way or another what that has to do with the crime rates that are happening this year. This is something that has not really happened before. And there's a lot of things that are happening that have not really happened before. You know, you have people being cooped up with COVID. You have a whole bunch of different political tensions simmering over. You have the George Floyd protests. You have all these other different things. I'm not sure that there's a good way of saying what impact calls to heavily reform, defund, change the way policing is done in the U.S., what role that has yet.
Charlie, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to Ray now in Milwaukee. Ray, hello.
I think it's quite obvious the murder rate in Milwaukee is double what it was last year. The shootings, Milwaukee, Chicago, New York, you name the big cities, something very ugly is going on. And if you've taken a drive down Capitol Drive on a Sunday morning, I will not see any police patrols from the east side all the way to 78th Street and Capitol. But when I return home to the east side, there's a police patrol near my house at least every 20 minutes. So there is definitely something going on. And I feel terrified with the reckless driving in Milwaukee. It's out of control.
Ray, thanks for the call. Ray pointing, I think, toward policing, he says, being concentrated where it is not needed. Under-policing where police might be needed, he says, and over-policing where it isn't so much. Do you have thoughts on that, Maggie?
Well, one of the really interesting things I have found in this research that we've been doing on crime and policing is that crime is a hyper-local thing. Like, it's not even a neighborhood basis. It's more like a block type of thing. Like, I think they were saying that one of the researchers I was talking to was saying that like 80% of the homicides in Chicago happen on like the same five census tracts. I mean, it's very, very hyper concentrated. And one of the things that, you know, people who study how to do effective policing have been doing over the years is trying to get some of these different departments to pay attention to things like that, to the idea that it's not a neighborhood thing, it's an individual house thing. It's a block thing. And that just being present and being a part of that community can make a difference in ways that over-policing some neighborhoods and under-policing others don't.
Ray, thanks a lot for the call. Just a couple minutes left, Maggie. As you said, this is kind of an entry point into a wider discussion of what makes crime go up and what makes it go down. What kind of things are you looking to figure out and to figure out how to figure out in the months to come?
Oh, man, this is such an interesting question. And it is something that we got interested in because we'd seen all of these different stories where somebody would come out and be like, okay, we know why the crime decline happened. It was because we got rid of leaded gasoline. Or we know why the crime decline happened. It's because abortion was legalized. Or we know why the crime decline happened. It's this other thing. And the truth is, when you actually start looking into the data, like, none of those things hold up, or at least they don't hold up as the only thing, as like a large portion of what's going on here. And it's actually something that we've seen in a lot of other countries as well. You know, it's not just the U.S. Crime went up in almost every Western country in the same time period, and it went down in almost every Western country in the same time period. Obviously at different levels, because the U.S. has more crime than every other country. But it is interesting that that pattern is everywhere, and we don't know why. So I think a lot of our future reporting is sort of going to be around, why don't we have answers to this thing that I think a lot of people look at and assume there must be an obvious answer to.
Maggie, thanks a lot for joining us. We'll watch for that future reporting.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking to Maggie Kurth. She's a senior science writer over at 538. We talked to her about America's declining crime rate over time, despite some upticks in particular kinds of crime, especially homicide this year, and also why perceptions of crime in the public don't always match up with the reality.